Back tonight. Gospel of John, chapter 11. I call your attention to verse 54. Gospel of John, chapter 11, and verse 54. I do covet your prayers. The Lord would help us and touch us tonight for just a little while. I appreciate the Lord loving us and saving us, putting us in the family of God, and letting me be a part of His family tonight. The Bible said in verse 54, John chapter 11, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with His disciples. Let us pray. Father, help us tonight. We love You because You first loved us. I bless Your name, Lord, for all Your benefits toward us tonight. I pray, Lord, that You'd help me, Lord, in this hour. I pray, dear Lord, that You'd help me to be true to my calling and true to the souls of men, women, boys, and girls. I thank You for the good day. I thank You, dear Lord, for the Lord loving us and saving us and for the precious word You preserved for us tonight. Thank You for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thank You for the songs of Zion. Your presence we felt already in the service tonight. I pray now that You'd help me. Oh, let me loose out of myself and where I'm at tonight. Oh, Lord, immerse my mind and heart and spirit in Your word, Your will, and Your ways. Call to my remembrance the scriptures. Give us heavenly wisdom and spiritual insight tonight. Oh, God, I pray for that anointing and that touch that every man has to have in order to preach. I pray, Lord, You'd purge me and cleanse me from all sin. Anything and everything would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit of God tonight. Everything about me that's unchristlike, I pray You'd cleanse us tonight. I pray, Lord, You'd take us now as a potter with the clay. May we be a vessel of honor that You could use tonight beyond Your glory. Speak to us the words that You want spoken tonight. Lord, if the words go forth, may they go forth in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Oh, I pray tonight for those that are lost, that maybe in our midst, convict and draw them through You tonight. Awaken them to the need of You. Oh, tonight, help them to come and part with the ways of sin and fall in love with the Savior. Those that are cold and different, we're all going to fall off, help them to get right. Stir every heart tonight. May we leave here bettered by coming. May we leave here growing closer to You. May we leave here, Lord, with a better understanding of Your will for our lives. May we walk in the light that You shine on our path. Help us tonight, we pray. Do for us now what we cannot do for ourselves. Above everything, get glory and honor unto Your high and holy name. For it is in the name of Jesus I pray.
Amen and amen.
There's a phrase in here tonight in this verse 54 that the Bible says near to the wilderness. If God would help me tonight, I want to preach on living on the edge. Living on the edge. The Bible said Jesus and His disciples went to a country that was near to the wilderness, or on the edge of the wilderness. So if God would help me tonight, I want to try to preach a little while on living on the edge. A lot of folks are living there tonight. There is the edge that we choose to live on. Then there's the edge that the Lord places us on tonight. I wonder what edge you're living on tonight. I want to say, first of all tonight, Cain lived on the edge of wickedness. Cain and Abel, the two brothers, the sons of Adam and Eve. And the Bible tells us that in the process of time, that it came to pass that Cain and Abel both brought an offering unto the Lord in the process of time.
Yes,
evidently before that time, they had not brought an offering.
Yes,
evidently before that time, they had, my friend, worshipped as Adam had brought the offering.
Yes,
no doubt in the Old Testament and still in the New Testament, we see the type that the Father is the spiritual head of the family.
Right.
And as Job offered an offering or a sacrifice for his children in case they had sinned,
So it was no doubt that Adam had the responsibility for his wife and for his son and offered an offering or a sacrifice for them.
That's right.
But the process of time had come that Cain and Abel, my friend, were old enough and had to make the decision for themselves, or had to come to that place that they choose whether they had served God and what kind of offering they had offered God.
Yes,
I want to say tonight, it doesn't matter whether you're raised in church or outside of church, there comes a time and a point in a person's life that they have to come to that realization that serving God and living for God and being saved is a personal matter.
Amen.
I can't go to heaven, my friend, hanging on to mama's apron string or daddy's coat tail. I had my friend to come to that place and point and time in my life that I had my friend realized it was between me and a holy God.
Amen.
And what was I to do, amen, with that? And so it was with Cain and Abel. In the process of time, they brought an offering unto the Lord. The Bible said that Cain was the tiller of the ground, Abel was the keeper of the sheep. And so the Bible said that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. My friend, the first fruits of my friend is labor. My friend, the first fruits of the ground, the first fruits of the harvest, that's what Cain brought to the Lord. The Bible said Abel brought, my friend, thank God, the firstlings of his flock. The Bible said, and the fat thereof. And the Bible said, the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and his offering, God had not respect. I want to say tonight, somebody said, it doesn't matter what you believe. I beg to differ with you tonight. It does matter. Well, they would put one offering that God would accept, and there's still one offering God accepts tonight, and it's a blood offering. And he taught him the fat thereof. And my friend, he had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but not of the Cain and his offering. He had not respect tonight. God help us. And the reason why, I want to say, Cain and Abel knew, no doubt, by Adam's a sacrifice and offering that he had made, and said, watched him what they were supposed to offer. But Cain refused, and by he brought of the fruit of his labor. Thank God, he brought his own self-righteousness. He brought of the fruit of the ground. He brought that that had already been cursed, and tried to get God to bless for what God had already cursed. Amen. He chose, my friend, to refuse God's way and to do it his way. And oh, tonight there's a multitude of folks that are still in that way tonight. Hey, God, they refuse the way of God. You see, God requires a substitutionary, a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. Amen. Hello, hear me, friend. A man cannot lift himself out of his sinful condition and his sinful state by his own bootstraps tonight. He cannot join enough churches, sing enough choirs. Hey, God, give enough money in the offering to satisfy the offering that God demands. Amen. Thank God. God demanded a perfect and innocent, thank God, a sacrifice. And Cain brought what he had labored, what he had provided, what he had done. Amen. By the way, that is what religion is. A religion is what man does for God, and salvation is what God does for man. Amen. By the way, the Bible says they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Amen. And every individual that's born is in the flesh. Unless they get born again. Amen. And then can only you please God. Amen. For he said, we're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God that dwelleth in us. Amen. God help us. That's exactly right. Amen. Lord help us tonight. I don't tell you, it doesn't matter how many baptismal pools that you visit tonight. It doesn't matter how many papers you sell on Palm Sunday. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God. It doesn't matter. Thank God. What you wear on a little hat. Thank God. It doesn't matter. How my friend the lions and the koalas. Thank God. And the mooses know you tonight. It doesn't matter if you're a Baptist or a Methodist or a Presbyterian or a Catholic tonight. That will not impress God. And it's not the offering or the sacrifice that he desires tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Some folks think they're going to heaven because they're Baptist. Amen. Oh yeah, I know more about them than anybody else. Thank God, but you'll not get there. Thank God on that sacrifice tonight. Oh, Cain chose his way instead of God's way. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Amen. The Bible said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way. Amen. And what man tries to do is he tries how to convince God that his way is right and hold his way up before God instead of coming God's way. Amen. That's why folks were not saved tonight. If all you had to do was shake somebody's hand, sign somebody's card, and join somebody's church, our churches would be running over. But folks don't want to give up that old life of sin. Thank God, they don't want to repent. They want to die up to sin. Everyone's turned to his own way. Thank God. And whether it's a religious way, or whether it's an immoral way, a man seeks his own way tonight. But it's a way of wickedness tonight. And God would not have any respect to Cain and to his offering tonight.
Amen.
That disturbed Cain, the Bible said he got wroth.
Right.
And his countenance fell.
Yes, sir.
And so the Lord spoke to him and said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? But if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And from that time in his life, Cain lived on the edge of wickedness. If you're in our midst tonight, a sinner, I want to say to you, once you refuse the truth, once you reject what God has showed you and refuse the life that he's shown in your path, you're living on the edge of wickedness. Somebody said, I'll never do whatever sinners have done. When you live on the edge of wickedness, when you turn from the truth of God, hallelujah. Oh, hear me, friend. Thank God. And you try to change the truth of God into a lie. And you turn from the Creator and serve the creature, your subject, for anything. Thank God that sin has to offer tonight. Amen. I don't think the legion of a man that was called legion because he had so many devils in him. Thank God started out that way. I've been all slowly and surely. Thank God living on the edge of wickedness. Oh, sinner tonight, hear me. God help you. When you turn from the truth, thank God you're subject how to be turned to fables tonight. And you're living on the edge of wickedness tonight. I want to say this tonight and then I'll try to go on, just bump it a little bit. I want to tell you, in America tonight, in America, I don't know about everywhere else, but in America, and I'm sure it's everywhere else, hey man, probably just before it got here. And I want to say in America tonight, how we've had folks that lived on the edge of wickedness, they turned from truth, and tonight they plunged off the edge, and they're forever gone.
Amen.
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 Yes, sir.
That's right. God help us. Oh, hear me. And here's Cain teetering. Thank God, and tottering on the brink of wickedness. Oh, he said, Cain, if you'll do well, you'll be accepted. If you offer the right offering, if you come the right way, I'll have respect unto you and your offering. But if you do not well, I'm seeing life at the door. You're living on the edge, and the edge will come underneath you. Amen. And sin's lying at the door. The word lie there means simply couch. It's the portraying a wild beast. Like the lion in the jungle. That stands ready to pounce on its prey. I can't praying if you don't do well. My sin's couching at your door and just waiting for to pray and devour and to destroy you. Amen. Amen. Oh, sinner tonight, when you walk away from the truth and refuse to go God's way and accept God's offering, you say, preacher, what is God's offering? Abel's ones that have that firstling of the flock and the fat thereof. Amen. Is that what I got to offer? No, that's just a type. Amen. I ain't got a foreshadowing. I tell you what God requires tonight is His lamb.
Yes. Amen.
And Jesus Christ was God's lamb.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And He offered Himself on the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. On between heaven and earth and two common thieves of Israel. And bled and died. How to keep sinners out of hell. And if you don't come through Him tonight, if you don't bow in repentance towards God that you've offended and have faith in that Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never see heaven. You'll never escape from the damnation of hell tonight. Hallelujah. That's true. And to refuse that and to walk your way and try to do it your way and get God to accept what you offer is living on the edge of wickedness tonight.
Amen.
Yes.
You're preaching wrong.
Yes. And one day in the field, I don't know how many days, how many weeks, how many months it was when they first all made the offering and sin began to couch or lie at Cain's door. Till it was that day out there in the field that he rose up. But he lived on the edge, and one day, amen, the edge crumbled beneath his feet.
Right.
Thank God. Right. And that anger, that soul got a hold of him. Amen. Yeah. And then he rose up and slew his brother.
Right. Amen.
There's nobody around. Thank God. Nobody to see it. Nobody to hear his cry. Nobody to defend him and tell him he felt secure in what he had done. But walking back over the hills, I hear the voice of God say, Cain,
yes.
Amen. Where is your brother?
Yeah, yeah. Amen.
And he said, am I my brother's keeper?
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, thank God. And he said, the blood of my brother cried out up from the ground against
Amen.
You. You've let sin light your door. You've lived on the edge of wickedness for long. And now it's overcome you. Amen. And your brother's blood that you left on the chair is crying out for vengeance against you. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And he made him a fugitive and a vagabond on the face of the earth.
That's right.
He cursed again the ground for Cain's sake. No, he cursed it for his father's sake. And Cain said, my punishment is greater than I can bear.
Right. Right.
Wow, you better get off the edge tonight, sinner, and run to Jesus while you can.
Amen.
Before, my friend, thank God, the edge crumbles beneath your feet and you fall down the cliffs of sin and have to cry, Cain did, my punishment is greater than I can bear.
Amen.
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 I want to say it's not only sinners that choose to live on the edge of wickedness. Sometimes the children of God, the saints of God, how sad it is, used to live on the edge of
Amen.
I'm reminded of this church generation, like the fella that was rich and needed a chauffeur. And he had two to apply for the job, and one of them was an expert driver. And buddy, I mean, he could do it. And he got the man in the car and took him up on the curvy road around the mountains and got as close to the edge as he could. Thank God, and whisked and whirled through the edges of the mountain as fast as he could, showing this man, this wealthy man, just what a driver he was. The other fellow, when they got back, got in the car. He drove, took the same road, but he stayed close to the inside, close to the mountain, didn't speed, wasn't flashy in his driving. And when they got back, the owner said, I'll take the second one. The other one said, on him, stand. I'm a better driver. Thank God, I can handle things better. I know more about it. He said, but you drive too close to the edge. I know anybody that drives close to the edge. Our church generation, unlike that generations of churches past, have seen that today doesn't see how close they live to God. How they see how much they can get away with and still get blessed. They see how close to the edge, how they can live and still astound or feel good. Amen. But living close to the edge tonight of wickedness is dangerous.
Amen.
Exactly right.
Amen.
Hey, ma'am. I tell you what you do. Go ahead down there on the job and flirt with that woman, or flirt with that man that's not your husband or your wife. Go ahead and go out to lunch with him and go out to supper with him. Thank God and tell him all your secrets and all your heart like Samson did. And before you know it, you'll find yourself over the edge tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Right.
God help us. Go ahead and live on the edge of the chat room. Thank God. Put your alias in if you want to. And talk about it. I talk to everybody in the country. Hey, hear me, Slim. Thank God. I pull up that pornography and live on the edge. I'm a jury living close to wickedness. And one day, and before you know it, the edge will crumble beneath your feet. And down the test of sin. And you'll fall. And oh, what a sad day.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
Live on the edge of church. Just come. Enough to keep the preacher and the members off of you. Amen. Amen. Put enough in the plate where it may look good. Amen. Thank God. Smile, you know. But don't live it. You're living on the edge of wickedness and you're headed for trouble.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. God help us. We live in a day when folks live on the edge of wickedness.
You're right.
I'll tell you. Your punishment will be greater than you can bear.
Right. Amen.
Amen. You can justify it. You can pet it and pamper it if you want to. You can say it won't hurt me or harm me. You'll think you're the one out of everybody else that gets by. Amen. But nobody gets by. God, it's not more. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you shall have the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the spirit, you shall have the spirit reap life.
Amen.
Are you hearing me tonight?
Yes, sir.
I wonder if you're living on the edge of wickedness tonight. And then, if the Lord will help me, I'll go to Numbers chapter 32. Talk about living on the edge of the water. Numbers chapter 32, we have the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Gad, the tribe of Gad, and the half a tribe of Manasseh. And they chose to live on the edge of the water. I'm trying to preach tonight on living on the edge.
Amen.
What edge are you living on tonight?
Lord.
Some folks live on the edge of wickedness, sinner and saint alike. Some folks live on the edge of the water.
Right.
The Bible said that they came to the land of James, to the land of Gilead. Behold, it was a place of cattle. So the children of Gad and Reuben came to Moses and Eleazar and to the princes of the congregation and said, even the country with the Lord smote before the congregation of Israel is a land for cattle, and thy servants have cattle.
Right.
Wherefore, said they, if we found grace in thy sight, let this land be given unto thy servants for a possession, and bring us not over Jordan.
Amen.
Here's these 2.5 tribes that lived on the edge of the water. I remind you that though Jazer and Gilead was a land of cattle and a land to be possessed, it was not the promised land.
Amen.
Somebody said, God won't give me what I don't need. If you want it bad enough, He will. I tell you what He gave the children of Israel. The Bible said He gave them the request, but sent leanness into their souls.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. I want to say, they said to Moses and Eleazar, don't bring us over Jordan. This is conquered land that we have here. Oh, we fought the two kings, Og of Bashan and Sihon of the Amorites, and we defeated them. Some folks had defeated a couple of sins in their lives, overcome some stronghold in their Christian life, and feel like that's as far as they need to go. I tell you, how to stop there is to live on the edge of the water.
Amen.
Amen.
You're right.
The Christian journey, the brother said it tonight while he was singing. Thank God, it's an ever upward and onward. It's a growing and a going.
Amen.
It's reaching forward. Hallelujah. It's pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's never a stopping place. There's never a plateau. Thank God. How did you arrive?
Hallelujah.
If anybody had arrived, Paul should arrive. But he said, I do not count myself that you have apprehended. That's just one thing I do. I'm forgetting what's behind and reaching for what's ahead. Paul said, they steal something. How more for me to get out something.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Amen. God help. And many folks have chosen to live on yonder side of Jordan. Now, had you been standing a long way off from the camp, had you been viewing from the high mountains or the hills, you'd have looked at this camp of folk and you'd have said, hey, them folks is in Canaan. They're living so close to the edge. Borderline, were they?
Yeah.
Amen. But the closer you got to them, hallelujah, the closer you got to camp, you'd realize that the Jordan separated them from the land of promise.
Right.
Some folks look pretty good a long way off. But the closer you get to them, and the more you listen to what they have to say, and the more you see how much they come to church, and what they do when they get here, thank God, and how they live outside of church, you realize they're just borderline Christians. Amen. Now, I have to admit, they were not wilderness Christians. They were not dying in the wilderness. Thank God. But they did not have their full inheritance. They were walking on green grass. That is so, instead of dry, hot sand. But they were not living in the land of milk and honey.
Amen.
It's like the way of the sea in church. And they're too hot to be cold and too cold to be hot. Just lukewarm, amen. And the Lord said, I can't stand that lukewarm business. And he said, what are you, lukewarm? You weren't. And I'll spew you out of my mouth. I reject your words. I will not have. And God, that lukewarmness. I'd rather be cold. How hard has to be lukewarm? Borderline. Living on the edge of the water.
Yes, it's right.
Preach
him on.
Amen.
Yes, it's right.
Oh, yeah. God help. That's where they were living. They said it's conquered land. We've overcome the two kings of the Amorites. But it wasn't all they should have. And it wasn't the possession that God wanted to have. It was cattle land. And they said, thy servants have much cattle. Amen. They'd rather have the cattle as the grapes.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
They'd rather have the cattle as the pomegranates and figs. Amen.
Right.
God help. And they said, our land is a land for cattle. Reminds me of Lot.
Right.
Look to the well-watered plains.
Oh, you're right.
Amen.
Amen.
Oh, yes. Didn't care about his children. Was more interested in cattle.
Right. Amen. Amen.
Amen. More interested in the carnal than the spiritual.
Amen.
More interested in the natural. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
More interested in the flesh than the spirit. Oh, yes. More interested in this kingdom than the kingdom of God.
Amen. Yeah. Sure, Amen.
That's right. Oh, Lord. The Bible said, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth.
Right.
Hey. Hallelujah. Hey. Look across Jordan, not on this side. I tell you, the blessing and the promises are on the other side.
Hey.
Oh, but too many folks have chosen to live on the edge. edge of the water tonight. I pray you cross over, sell out, dedicate, give in wholly to God tonight.
Amen.
Moses got on to him and he said, "You're just like that crowd that wouldn't go in at Kadesh Barnea. You're going to cause the rest of the people to be discouraged."
That's right.
They said, "Oh, no." Said, "We'll build some a fortresses here for our people, our wives and our children and our cattle." And said, "We'll go over and fight with you. But when the fight's over, we'll come back over here and live." It's about where the church is today. We pay a preacher. We hire a preacher. We got a preacher. Thank God. And he can preach mean and hard against sin. Thank God. And I'm amazed at this generation. Thank God. They'll stomp and snort and shout while a preacher preaches on the very sins that they're living in and walk right back to the house and do the same thing over again.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to tell you, it's not enough to fight with those at the cross. Hey God, it's where you dwell tonight.
Amen.
It's where you're living. It's what counts.
Amen.
Amen.
Life.
That's right.
Yes. Yes.
The crowd nowadays, you know, preach against HBO. They don't cut theirs off. They go on home and turn it on and watch it.
Right.
Yeah, well, he talks about it, but go home and then watch it.
Right.
All right, man. Hey, God, when he preaches on a short skirt or dresses, and go back out and do the same thing.
Yes.
Amen. I'm wrong somewhere.
Amen.
Amen.
Right, preacher.
Hallelujah. Living on the edge of the water. That's where our society is today.
Amen.
God help us. I want to tell you tonight, God brought us out of Egypt to get us into Canaan.
Amen.
God intended on every child of God. Hey, God, to have a full inheritance.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, help us tonight. Thank God. Have you entered the land of promise and plenty tonight? Have you received the full reward? Thank God. Have you got your full inheritance tonight? Are you stumbling in the wilderness? Are you wandering and complaining and growling? Thank God. In the wilderness tonight, are you living on the edge of the water? Or have you crossed Jordan and got into Canaan fairly tonight? Woo!
Lord.
Amen.
Heaven.
There's three. Army. There's three.
We come to hear you.
There's three that personify the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Egypt and the Canaan experience. There's the death of the Lamb.
Right.
The Passover.
Right.
We know that.
Sure.
And the blood shields from the wrath of God.
Right.
Everybody inside that house behind the blood, judgment of God passed over.
Yes, sir.
That Red Sea is a type of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We're not just shielded from the blood of Christ, but He came, thank God, by His miraculous power to save us from sin.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. To deliver us from our enemies. Christ's death didn't just shield us from the judgment of God. Hallelujah. It grounded the enemies forever. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. On the day I got saved, I waved one final goodbye unto the world, to the sin. Thank God. Out of the carnal ordinances that was against me. Thank God. He took them to the cross and nailed them to his cross and they're sold. Hallelujah. Woo! The law can't point its finger at me tonight. It'd be double jeopardy if it did. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. Amen. What are we? Are we 10 years? I sense the O.J. verdict. And he's as guilty as the day is long, but he got off. Amen. But tonight, if right now, thank God, they come out with an eyewitness, if they come out with 10 eyewitnesses, and more proof, undoubtable proof, and went back into the court in California and said, "We've got the proof. We got it on videotape. We've got 10 eyewitnesses." Thank God, the judge would say, "Forget it. We done had him on trial. Or we done tried him. And you can't bring your case up no more." Woo! I want to tell you, thank God, when I got saved, my sins are ever go. And who shall lay anything unto the charge of God be laid? Hallelujah. Hey, thank God. You can't bring up what I used to be. It's gone. Hallelujah. For the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that Jordan crossing is a type of his death. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. But in that death, there's a resurrection. In that death, though we died with him, buried with him, thank God we've been raised to walk in the newness of life. Amen. His death not only shields us, his death not only delivers, but his death gives us power. Hallelujah. To live like we ought to live. Hallelujah. Bless his name. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. If that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead died in you, it's also quickened your mortal body. Thank God. I'm not alive in him. Amen. And can live in victory. Thank God. Hey, hallelujah. And can walk with God. Hallelujah. Amen. You're living on the edge of the water tonight. Cross over. Living on the edge of wickedness, living on the edge of water. And then I want to talk to you just a minute about a man in Luke chapter 2 that lived on the edge of worship. The Bible said in Jerusalem there was a man just and devout waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. His name was Simeon. The Bible said, verse 26 of Luke 2, it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. It was a man. I don't know. It looks to me maybe like he's ready to die. Been talking to God about dying and going on. And the Holy Ghost nudges him one day and says, you ain't going to die till you see the Lord's Christ. So he's just waiting around to see the Lord's Christ. Now, I used to preach that he'd go to the temple every day and look at every baby that was brought in and check out every blanket, but I missed it. Because the next verse said he came by the Spirit into the temple.
Right.
One day the Holy Ghost said, this is the day.
Amen.
He walked into the temple and he didn't look at ever a woman that brought in a blanket. Amen. Had a baby that day. But he waited, thank God, there in the temple for that one that came in. Hallelujah. Mary and Joseph, and the Holy Ghost said, that's him. Hallelujah. And he went over and he said, Mrs. Sir, can I hold y'all's baby, y'all's child? She said, sure you can. Hallelujah. He held that bundle in his arms. And when he did, the Bible said he blessed God. Hallelujah. He thanked him. Hallelujah. He worshipped him. Hallelujah. And he said, now let my servant depart in peace. I've seen the consolation of Israel and the Lord of God. Hallelujah. He's just been waiting to worship. Living on the edge of worship, and once he worships on the Lord Christ, he is ready to go.
Hallelujah.
Did you raise a lot of folks living on the edge of worship?
You're right.
Amen. Oh, they watch the preacher get in it, they watch somebody else get in it, and they're right there on the edge, but they never get in it.
You're right. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How do you do it, preacher? You have to take him in your arms. Amen. Oh, yes. And when he talks to you and realize how that all the promises, thank God, give him a yea and amen. That may not just everybody else, but it's your thing, that personal.
Woo!
Hallelujah. A 13-year-old, I preached a half a dozen times or more, I don't know, somewhere less, a little less. One Sunday night over to church, it got meeting got out. And the most things that I've seen ever since I was a little boy, going to church, got to shouting and worshiping in an old time way. And I liked it because I grew up in it. It didn't scare me. I enjoyed it. I'd a whole lot love them do that hell in them old dead meetings, you know. But I say now, there's a difference. Oh, there's a worshiping having a time. Next thing I knew, Brother Agin, hallelujah. I got carried away and caught away. Hallelujah. And began to worship myself. I wasn't looking at Grandma. I wasn't watching Mama. I wasn't seeing the pastor, thank God. But I got him in my arms. And I come to realize, hey, what there's a sound about was real down in my soul. Hallelujah. I'm the first time I ever held in my hey, what there's a sound about was real down in my soul. Hallelujah. I'm the first time I ever held in my arms. And worship, but it ain't been the last. Hallelujah. I've held it in my arms many times since then. Sometimes on the church house. Sometimes back over the house. I've held it in my arms riding down the road. And every time I hold it next to my verse, I realize the fashion of you. That's just what I am, thank God. That's who he is.
Oh, bless his name.
Woo!
Now that song that you will sing, I know that I'm his, and that's good, and he's mine forever.
Yeah.
Well, you get to realize that you're his and he's yours.
Woo! Paul says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live in the face of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. When it gets personal and you take it in your heart, you can wash now.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Some folks live on edge. Watch somebody else. You ought to pray.
Yes.
You ought to get off the edge tonight.
Yes.
Take him in your arms and worship him for the God.
Yes.
Our text verse says that Jesus and his disciples dwelt near in a city called Ephraim near the wilderness.
Yes, sir.
So there's those that live on the edge of wickedness. There's those that live on the edge of the water. There's those that live on the edge of worship. And there's those that live on the edge of the wilderness. Now, the water and the wickedness was by their own choosing. The worship was God's choosing for Simeon. And the wilderness was the Lord's choosing for his disciples. The Bible tells us that the Jews sought to kill Jesus. And he walked no more openly among the Jews because of this death sentence that they had on him. But he went into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples.
Right.
Now you talk about a change of venue, and you talk about a change of lifestyle for these disciples. This was.
Right.
To go from the mainstream of Israel to casting out devils and healing sick folks and preaching the gospel of the kingdom to being put near the wilderness, or living on the edge of the wilderness.
Right.
When you think of the wilderness, you think of a desert, you think of a solitary place, you think of loneliness.
Right.
You think of nothing, really.
Yes, sir.
It's just nothing.
Right.
That's where they went. Yet that's where he was. And if that's where he is, that's where I want to be. But what a change from being in the limelight and in the mainstream to being led by the Lord Jesus and dwelling near the wilderness. Living on the edge of the wilderness. What a difference. Because in this very chapter, Lazarus is raised from the dead.
Right.
And on the edge of the wilderness, there's no preaching. There's no miracles being performed. But there is that sweet communion and fellowship.
God bless you.
With the Lord.
Right.
And they continue there.
Bless you, Lord.
At Ephraim.
Right.
This is not the first group to be on the edge of the wilderness. For you'll read about the children of Israel back in the book of Exodus when they came out that night. The Bible said they left Succoth. And they encamped in Ephraim and on the edge of the wilderness. The similarities are a lot alike.
They've been in Egypt all this time. They've seen God pass 10 judgments on the Egyptian gods. They've seen His mighty hand. Hey, God, as He dealt, my friend, grace, my friend, a problem to the Egyptian, and yet severed the land of Goshen and gave them deliverance.
That's right.
But when they come out that night, He clocks them on the edge of the wilderness.
Right.
All that's there is the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And when it moves, they move. And when it stops, they stop.
Right.
That's a valuable lesson to learn.
Amen. Amen. Yes, it is.
And I guess they wonder, is this little experience over yet? Is God through with us? Shook all of Egypt. Smote the firstborn of every house. And brought us out with a mighty hand. But as He brought us out here on the edge of the wilderness to put His hand off of us and let us make it on our own. No, He's just teaching them.
Right.
And training them. And He's preparing them for the next step, which is from Ephraim to the Red Sea. And at the Red Sea, hallelujah, He's going to show His power again.
That's right.
Right. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And for these disciples, is this the end? And for you tonight, when you live on the edge, by the way, God will put you there at times in your life.
Yes, sir. Right.
And if you're there, is God through with you? Now, Ephraim, of course, was one of the two sons of Joseph that was born to him in Egypt. And when he was born, Manasseh and Ephraim was born to him in Egypt, he called his son Ephraim because he said, the Lord's made me fruitful in this barren land, in this land of Egypt. And so Ephraim's name means fruitfulness. It literally can mean doubly fruitful. Yet, as the children of Israel's history progressed, the name Ephraim became not to be known as fruitfulness, but fruitlessness. For the 10 tribes became known as Ephraim.
Right. Amen.
And God said a whole lot about Ephraim in that Old Testament, and most of it wasn't too good. Ephraim has turned to idols. Let him alone. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Ephraim is as a silly dove. Ephraim is as a backsliding heifer.
Right.
Wasn't too good about Ephraim. So the name that should have meant fruitful and was when it was first given became to be known as fruit. Not fruitful, but fruitless. Barren. Nothing. And so that's where Jesus goes to dwell with His disciples. In a place that seems fruitless. Living on the edge of being fruitless. How could this be the will of God? I submit to you that many times God in our dormant stage and our fruitless stage is trying to do something in our lives. We're so caught up with numbers and noses and nickels that we have reached out and tried to have fruit when God simply put us in a fruitless state.
Right?
To teach and to train.
God bless you, preacher. God bless your heart.
Here's these disciples. It must have been rough on them. Not to be able to cast out no devils. Not to see, as Jesus said, lightning falling from the sky. Not to see a Lazarus raised from the dead and just be here alone with Jesus. But what He was doing here at Ephraim was going to help him in the next stage of their life. The God of fruitless Ephraim was making the lives of these disciples doubly fruitful.
Yes.
For from they would move from Ephraim, they would walk back into Jewry, and the Jews would have the Lord crucified. He would be buried, put in a borrowed tomb, then He would raise again. 40 days and nights He would appear to them, and then 10 days after His ascension into heaven, the Holy Ghost power would come, and those fellows, thank God, at Pentecost, and just just a few days ago, I've been living in a little town called Ephraim that looked fruitless, that looked like their ministry was wiped up. Thank God it wiped out and gone forever. All of a sudden, thank God, we're born fresh and anew, and stood up and said, "You men of Galilee, these men are not drunk with wine, of being the third hour of the day, but this is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And they went all over Israel and up and down, thank God, preaching and teaching with such power and bringing forth fruit unto God. God, it took that edge of the wilderness experience that seemed to be fruitless and made them doubly fruitful.
Amen.
In the work of God.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Hallelujah. Latter part of February, I was in the edge of South Carolina. 2 days, I passed, I think that's Highway 16, going to Chesney from the interstate. I passed those large peach orchards, strawberry farm. As I came across, my wife was with me that time, and I said to her, "Look at them peach trees, them peach orchards. They just trimmed them, pruned them, and as in February, there were no leaves on none of the trees.
Yeah.
And against the sky stood four or five or six limbs going up like this. Dead as looked like dead as they could be. Nothing.
Right.
I've been told that it takes so many nights below freezing weather.
You're right.
Or for them peaches to bear ripe.
Amen.
So there they were, the saps down low. They'd been pruned. Looked like there ain't no life left in them, no leaf nowhere. And I sniffed. I didn't smell nothing. No, no. And by looks, by outward appearances, it seemed like there'd ever be no peaches on them.
Right.
No peaches. Peach trees. That orchard. But I know tonight, I could drive Highway 16. I hadn't been back down there, but I've been the one over to the house, close to the house. Peach orchard. They got one close to the house. I know what I do. The sap rose. The leaves put on.
Amen.
The fruit began to come on them trees.
Yeah.
If I could drive by there tonight, I wouldn't see darkened limbs against the sky. Woo! But I'd see trees, thank God, tree after tree, full of leaves and full of life, and fruit if I could get to it, and get one ripe and pick her off, and sink my teeth into it, and let the juice run down my chin. I know, thank God, that all that could happen back in those dark nights of winter and that prudent time was necessary for me to enjoy what I was enjoying, thank God, at that particular time. I want to tell you tonight, when God has set us at the edge of the wilderness, don't give up and don't lose hope tonight. He's just virgin and prudent. He's just perfection. I don't get lost in our eyes. That He's just making our fruitlessness how to become doubly fruitful tonight. Well, bless His name.
Hallelujah.
So if you're on the edge tonight, thank God, don't balk. Don't kick and fuss. Just say, "Lord, let me learn what you're trying to teach me."
Yeah.
And He's just getting you ready for the next stage.
Hey.
I'm through for you. Everybody stay in place. What edge are you on tonight? If you're living on the edge of wickedness, sinner, you better get off. You better get in. You better get to Christ. You better get the right offering, right sacrifice. Child of God, are you living on the edge of wickedness tonight? Are you torn with sin? Samson did.
Three times it looked all right, but that fourth time, he lost everything he once had. You better not live on the edge of wickedness tonight, or crumble beneath your feet. Are you living on the edge of the water tonight? Are you willing to cross Jordan? Are you going to be a borderline Christian tonight? Settle for the cattle land and the conquered land instead of the promised land, instead of Canaan's land. You're living on the edge of worship? Why don't you just dive off into it tonight? Somebody said, how you doing? All I know to do is the old preacher said, let go and let God.
Amen.
Are you on the edge of the wilderness tonight? Has God led you to a place that seems to be fruitless? You're doing seemingly nothing. And what hurts worse is because used to there was, you like we're doing something, but now He's got you sidelined and sidetracked. Nothing's going on. If He's really led you there, continuing with you, just stay there with Him. Let Him do what He's doing. Perfect what He wants to perfect in you. He'll get you to the next stage. And when He does, the fruitless life will become a doubly fruitful life.
Yeah.
You need to pray for any reason, man. Shame when you get ready, brother. All is open for you to come tonight. Shame, center of life. Go to God.